This time now, we're in Psalm 19 this morning, verses 10 and 11. We just have this week and next week to finish off our series, just a quick six-week series. It's called The Magnificent Word of God. We've been looking at various aspects of God's Word as presented here in Psalm 19. And so far, we've looked at the first four of these. We've learned that God's Word is inspired, infallible, authoritative, and everlasting. Quick recap, inspiration tells us about the source of Scripture. The source of Scripture. Scripture comes from God. Infallibility tells us about the content of Scripture, that all Scripture is true. Authority tells us about the purpose of Scripture, that God's Word tells us what to believe and how to live. Everlasting, that's what we looked at last week, tells us about the duration of Scripture. God's Word does not expire or change. And now today's verses tell us about the value of Scripture. And what is the value of Scripture? God's Word is priceless. Priceless. So Psalm 19, verses 10 and 11, would you please stand with me for God's Word? Speaking of the words of God, David writes, "They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward." This is the word of God. Let us pray. Dear Lord, as we look into your word now and we spend some time reflecting on the value of your word, I pray that your word would become even more valuable and precious to us, and then that we would treat it that way during the week as well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. If you've ever watched TV, you've probably seen one of those MasterCard commercials, their priceless ad campaign, they call it. And the very first of those commercials aired way back in 1997. And it showed a dad taking his son to a baseball game as the narrator in his 1997 TV narrator's voice intoned, "Two tickets, $46. 1997, okay? I know you can't do that anymore. But two tickets, $46. Two hot dogs, two popcorns, two sodas, $27. One autographed baseball, $50. Real conversation with 11-year-old son, priceless. And then he went on to say, "There are some things that money can't buy. For everything else, there's MasterCard, accepted at ballparks, coast to coast." So yeah, you've probably heard some of those. And you know, I didn't mean to give a MasterCard commercial. If any of you work for Visa, I apologize. Okay. But you know, that commercial definitely got one thing right, didn't it? There are some things that money can't buy. There are many things more valuable than money. And then there are those things that are the most valuable of all. And Psalm 19 teaches us that God's word is priceless. There is nothing more valuable than knowing and keeping God's word. There's an outline in your worship guide. I would encourage you to take that out now at this time. It'll help you to follow along on the message as we get started here. First of all, there is nothing more valuable than God's word. Nothing more valuable than God's word. A lot of valuable things in the world. A lot of people value money more than anything. But there's nothing more valuable than God's word. Our psalm tells us that God's words are more precious than gold, right? That's what we see, the opening part of verse 10. Speaking of God's words, the psalmist says, "They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold." And this word that's translated precious here, it's a word that means desirable. Something that a person takes great delight in. So the psalmist is saying God's words are more precious, they're more to be desired than gold. In fact, more than much pure gold. There are different kinds of gold, right? And this word that's translated pure gold speaks of the finest, the most pure gold of all. Today we measure gold in carats. You have 9-carat gold, That's 37.5% gold. It's the most affordable kind. If you don't have a lot of money, can't spend much, but you want to get something gold, you go out and get 9-carat gold. Then you have 18-carat gold. That's twice the gold content of 9-carat. It has 75% gold content. A lot more expensive. 22-carat gold gets you up to 91.6%. And then, of course, 24-carat gold is right, the gold standard. It's the purest and most expensive of all at 99.9% gold. And that's as high as the scale goes. And that's what this word means, pure gold. It means 24-carat, nearly 100% pure gold. And what does the psalm say? God's words are more precious than gold, and not just any kind of gold, but pure gold. And not just pure gold, but much pure gold. Right? And so we go from good to better to best. We go from gold to pure gold to much pure gold, and God's word still comes out on top. You hear a lot of advertisements for gold on the radio these days, you know. Anytime I hear one of them, the announcer says, this is the absolute best time to buy gold. I kind of yell back at the radio and go, really? Then why are you selling it? Right? If it's the best time to buy, you don't sell. And careful with those commercials, okay? Just a little tip there. You know, people have always been attracted to gold. And I love stories about the Old West. I love reading Westerns. I love watching Westerns. I love reading history books about the Old West and Alaska and Texas. And a big part of those stories is gold, isn't it? The lure of the gold and the various gold strikes and claims and what people were willing to sacrifice just to get their hands on that gold. And some of those people, they were willing to give up everything for gold. So let me ask you, what are you willing to give up for God's word? How precious is God's word to you? How desirable? There are people who have given their very lives for God's word. You may have heard of William Tyndale. William Tyndale was burned at the stake for his commitment to translate the Bible into the language of the people, to translate the Bible into our common language so that anybody could read and study God's word for themselves. There are other scriptures which also speak of the supreme value of God's word. Psalm 119, verse 72 says, the law from your mouth is more precious to me than thousands of pieces of silver and gold. Can you say that along with the psalmist? If you were given the choice between thousands of pieces of silver and gold or God's word, which would you choose? If someone offered you thousands of pieces of silver and gold, but here was the one condition, you could never read God's word again, are you accepting that offer? A lot of people in the world would. They say, well, I don't read the Bible anyway, so yeah, give me the silver and gold. Psalm 138, verse 2 says this, you have exalted above all things your name and your word. Now, we already know that God's name is exalted. We every time we say the Lord's Prayer, right? We say that, hallowed be your name. We know God's name is exalted. Psalm 138 tells us that God's word is also exalted. And along with God's name, it is exalted above all else, above all things. There's nothing more valuable than God's word. Or we turn to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 8 presents you with a choice. Choose my instruction instead of silver, knowledge rather than choice gold, for wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Nothing you desire can compare with God's word. So which do you choose? Which do you choose in life? Which do you choose each day of your life? You know, everyone's always looking for the best investments, right? For their money and their time. We want to know which investments are most valuable, which will retain their value, which will grow in value. And I'm not a stockbroker, so I can't tell you the best investment for your money. But I can tell you the best investment for your life. And the very best investment for your life is to invest yourself in the Word of God. Choose God's instruction instead of silver or rubies. God's words are more precious than gold. And not only that, but God's word has value both for this life and the life to come. You know, we read in Psalm 73, Lord, you guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. God's word gives you counsel. It gives you counsel to guide you and draw you into closer relationship with the Lord. The Bible will guide you safely through this life and then into the next. Earth has nothing of value that can even compare. We read in the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 4, verse 8, godliness has value for all things, holding promise both for both the present life and the life to come. So when you invest in God's word, you're not only investing in this life, you are making an eternal investment. God's words are more precious than gold. God's word has value both for this life and the life to come. That's the first thing our psalm teaches us this morning. Nothing more valuable than God's word. Secondly, there is nothing sweeter than God's word. Nothing sweeter than God's word. Look at the second half of verse 10 now. The psalmist writes, they are sweeter than honey from the comb. And just like the first half of verse 10 distinguished between two kinds of gold, right? Regular gold and pure gold. So this part of the verse now distinguishes between two kinds of honey. The first word that's used for honey here, this is just regular honey, okay? This is the kind you might find in your shelf. It's already plenty sweet. But the second word here, now this refers to fresh honey flowing right from the inner cells of the honeycomb. I don't know if you've ever had a chance to do that. I've had it just once where someone gives you some of the honeycomb with the honey just flowing out of it and you bite it. Oh, that's sweet. I don't think there's anything sweeter than that. That's the best and sweetest honey of all. That's what this second word is all about. And so God's words are not only sweeter than honey, but they are sweeter than honey from the comb. What's he saying? There's nothing sweeter than God's word. And in comparing God's word to honey, Psalm 19 brings out a truth, that we find throughout Scripture. God's words are like food for the soul. Anyone here like food? I like food. Well, just as we need physical food to strengthen and nourish our bodies, so we need spiritual food to strengthen and nourish our souls. And we find that spiritual food where? In the Word of God. For example, Job in the Old Testament, we read Job's words, Job 23:12. I have not departed from the commands of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my daily bread. Or we read in Psalm 119, similar to our passage here in Psalm 19, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Or the words Jesus quoted to Satan in the wilderness, quoting from the book of Deuteronomy. Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And the Bible uses different analogies when it compares God's word to food. Sometimes God's word is compared to milk, because milk is essential to help a young infant grow. Sometimes God's word is compared to bread, because we need daily food, right, to keep our bodies healthy and strong. Sometimes it is compared to meat, because meat is for the mature who have grown strong enough to digest those more difficult portions of God's word. And then sometimes it's compared to honey, to bring out the pure delight and sweetness of knowing God through his word. God's words are like food for your soul. Now, we usually think of those sweeter foods, you know, desserts and candies. We usually think of that. That's the extra stuff you eat after you've eaten the more substantial foods, right? You were probably all told as children, you can't have your dessert. You got to eat your supper first, then you can have dessert, right? But the great thing about the Bible, the great thing about God's word is this, is you don't have to choose between supper or dessert, right? God's word is both delicious and nutritious. It is meat, milk, bread, and honey all at the same time. Which brings us to the next aspect of the sweetness of God's word. God's word offers you far greater pleasures than the world does. There is nothing the world offers that compares to the sweetness of God's word. I think of the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah testified in Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16. He said, "When your words came, I ate them, and they were my joy. They were my heart's delight, for I bear your name, O Lord God Almighty." So maybe you don't like honey. You can substitute something else sweet in here instead. Maybe for you, God's words are sweeter than ice cream, or sweeter than chocolate, than much pure chocolate. For me, than much dark chocolate. Ooh. Maybe God's words for you are sweeter than cheesecake. Yeah, I got a lot of the people at the first service on that one too. But the point is this, when you eat God's words, right? When you take God's word into your life, when you read and study his words for yourself, when you make them a part of your daily life, they will be your joy, just like Jeremiah. They will be your heart's delight, just like Jeremiah. And the world cannot compare. Hebrews 6 talks about those who have tasted the goodness of the word of God. The goodness of the word of God. God's word is good because God is good all the time. That's why 1 Peter 2 says, we read this earlier, like newborn babies crave pure spiritual milk. That's speaking of the word of God there. The pure spiritual milk of God's word craves pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation now that you've tasted that the Lord is good. God is good, therefore his word is good. And we taste the goodness of God through the goodness of his word. There's nothing the world offers that compares with the goodness of God and his word. The world offers you many things, temptations, pleasures, lots of laughs. But none of them are ultimately satisfying or fulfilling. None of those pleasures will last. 1 John 2:17 says, "The world and its desires pass away. But the man who does the will of God, which we know by the word of God, lives forever." And so God's words are like food for the soul. Now, food is good. I think we all agreed on that. We all said we like food. It's good, but it doesn't help you any until you eat it. You can put the best meal and spread it out on the table. You can just look at it and take pictures and walk around and smell and all that. But if you don't eat it, it's not going to help you. Same thing with God's word. We can extol all the virtues of God's word. This is the best book ever. This is more valuable than anything. This is sweeter than anything. This has everything I need. But are you eating it? Are you taking it into your life? Because that's when it is incomparably sweet. God's word offers you far greater pleasures in the world. There is nothing sweeter than God's word. So Psalm 19 tells us there's nothing more valuable than God's word. There's nothing sweeter than God's word. And then finally, it goes on to tell us that the greatest value comes from not only knowing God's word, but keeping God's word. Not only knowing, but keeping. Look at verse 11 now. David writes, "By them is your servant warned, in keeping them there is great reward." So it's not just knowing God's word that's important, but it's keeping it. Now, knowing comes first, right? You can't keep what you don't know. And yes, there is great value simply in knowing God's word. There's great value just simply knowing God's word. But the greatest value comes not only from knowing, but keeping God's word. Why is this? First of all, because God's word will guard you from many troubles in life. Isn't that what we see in verse 11? By them is your servant warned. Warned. That word translated warned, it's a word that means to admonish or to give a warning. But in the original language, it also has the idea of light. It can mean to send out light. A good picture of this is like a lighthouse, right? A lighthouse sends out light. It warns approaching ships about the rocks that lie under the surface of the water. Think about it. How many ships have been wrecked by ignoring the lighthouse's warning? And how many lives have been wrecked by ignoring the warnings of God's word? There's so many temptations and traps in life just waiting to trip you up and to bring you trouble. And they're like rocks under the water. Everything looks fine on the surface. The world around you gives the all clear. Go ahead. Go ahead. Jump into all these things that will ultimately destroy you. But God's word sends out the light and gives you fair warning. When you keep God's word will keep you. It will keep you safe and guard you from so many troubles in life. The psalmist writes in Psalm 119, because I love your commands more than gold, more than pure gold, and because I consider all your precepts right, I hate every wrong path. There are many paths to take in life. Unfortunately, many of them only lead you to trouble and grief. But when you love God's word, when you treasure it more than gold, more than pure gold, you will be protected from every wrong path. We read in Proverbs chapter 8, once again, about God's word. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. For whoever finds me finds life and receives favor from the Lord. But whoever fails to find me harms himself. All who hate me love death. So you see, when you keep God's word, you find you find life and favor from the Lord. When you ignore God's word, you are only harming yourself. All who hate God's word love death. This psalm, Psalm 19, it's a psalm of David. Notice how David identifies himself in verse 11. He says, by them is your servant warned. David identifies himself as God's servant. The reason David loves God's word is because he views himself as God's servant. Is that how you view yourself? Are you a servant of God? Because until you view yourself as God's servant, you're probably not going to heed God's word or his warnings. The ball player doesn't listen to the other team's coach. He listens to his own coach. And when you are God's servant, then you listen to him. You listen to his warnings. And so you can see the greatest value comes from not only knowing, but keeping God's word. Why? First of all, because God's word will guard you from many troubles in life. And then secondly, because there is great reward in keeping God's commands. We see the second half of verse 11. In keeping them, there is great reward. Notice there is not only a reward for keeping God's commands, there is a reward for that as well. But what does David say here? David says there is great reward simply in keeping them. In other words, the keeping of God's commands, that is a great reward in and of itself. Even if there's nothing else later on, it carries its own reward. There is great reward in keeping God's commands, and there is great rewards afterwards as well. As David writes in another psalm, Psalm 16, it says, God, you've made known to me the path of life. Well, how did God do that? Through his word, the word of God. You've made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. And so we enjoy the great reward of walking the path of life here in this life now, and we will enjoy eternal pleasures later on as well. Charles Spurgeon writes, "Servants of God not only find his service delightful in itself, but they receive a good recompense. In keeping them, there is great reward." As servants of God who keep his commands, we experience joyful service in the present and great reward in the life to come. Now, don't misunderstand what David's saying here. We do not receive rewards from God because we have somehow earned them or deserve them. Right? We know from God's word and from experience, we have all sinned. We all fall short of God's glory. As sinners, we do not deserve rewards, right? Rather, we receive God's judgment. But here's the beautiful thing about God. God not only saves us by his grace, God also rewards us by his grace. Ralph Venning writes, "Though we should not serve God for a reward, yet we shall have a reward for our service. And though our reward be not for our good works, yet we shall have our good works rewarded." And we shall have a good reward for our works. And this is the wonderful motivating truth we find here in Psalm 19:11. God in his grace promises rewards for those who keep his commands. In keeping them, there is great reward. Nothing more valuable than knowing and keeping God's word. Once again, the value does not come simply from knowing it. One more verse here. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2 tells us, "The message they heard was of no value." Now, if you stop there, it doesn't sound right, does it? It's like, wait, the Bible has no value? Didn't we just say it's priceless? The message they heard was of no value? Well, you got to keep reading, right? "The message they heard was of no value to them." Well, why not? Because those who heard it did not combine it with faith. God's word always has great value. But it has no value to you until you combine it with faith and practice. The greatest value comes in not only knowing, but keeping God's word. Why? Because God's word will guard you from many troubles in life, and there is great reward in keeping God's commands. There's nothing more valuable than the Word of God, and there's nothing sweeter than the Word of God. Money can buy you all sorts of things in this world, but money cannot buy you anything of lasting value. This world has many sweet things to offer you, but there's nothing sweeter than knowing God and Jesus through his word and following his commands. So my prayer for you today is that you will understand the supreme value of knowing and keeping God's word. I pray that you will commit yourself to reading and following God's word yourself. God's word is inspired, infallible, authoritative, everlasting, and priceless. You cannot put a price tag on Scripture. There's nothing more valuable than knowing and keeping God's word. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for your amazing word. Lord, every day there's a whole table spread out for us, a banquet table, a feast, with all of the things that are going to strengthen us and things that are just going to taste so good and are just going to bring such fulfillment to us. It's all there, Lord. And yet how often do we walk past our Bibles? Lord, help us to open your word frequently. The Bible that's on our shelf or by our bedside or on our side table. The scriptures that we might carry around in our pockets on our phones. Lord, we open our phones to scroll social media. Can we open our phones to scroll your word? Lord, the word that we've laid up in our hearts, stored up in our hearts as we've memorized your word and meditate on it. May we bring it to mind frequently. Because God, the more we invest in your word, the more your word will become precious to us. And the more our lives will be shaped into beauty and the fulfillment and the likeness of Jesus. Help us with these things, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.